calling us to do. Amen. Praise God, saints. Taking out your sermon note sheet, I want to ask you, what is our topic for this Lord's Day? Hallelujah. And investment tips for singles. One is a whole number. Praise God. Praise God. I want to start off with a story about a first grade teacher who gave her class the first part of a proverb and then asked them to finish the second half. And here's what those first graders came up with. Better to be safe than, they said, punch a fifth grader. It's always darkest before, they said, daylight savings time. Don't bite the hand that, they said, looks dirty. A penny saved is, well, these first graders thought a penny saved is not much. These first graders said, laugh and the whole world laughs with you, cry and you blow your nose. Children should be seen and not, well, the first graders felt it was children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. Hallelujah. And then the last one, the first graders thought, a miss is as good as a missus. Hallelujah. And we're going to see this morning that according to Scripture, a miss is just as good as a missus. But first, let us pray. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord God Almighty. You are an awesome God. You are a faithful God. You are a loving God. And we give you praise this day. We thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask, O God, that you would now anoint the preaching of your holy word, that you would speak clearly to us, Lord, for we are indeed listening. We pray that you would encourage and renew our minds, and we pray that you would transform our lives this day for your glory. And we give you thanks and praise ahead of time in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, saints, do you know what is the fasting, growing minority segment of the population in our country right now? Minority meaning percentage of population. What is the fastest growing minority segment? Is it Hispanics, African Americans? It's not Asians, it's not Europeans. It's singles. It is singles. It is singles. Almost 40% of all American adults are single, either widowed, divorced, always single. Now, their population equals the entire populations of New York, California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Arizona, and Maryland. That's a lot of singles, amen. Did you know that there is an entire chapter in the Word of God that celebrates singleness and explodes the myths of marriage? I want you to look with me at 1 Corinthians 7. I have a few verses printed in our sermon note sheet. And this week I'm going to ask you to, in your devotion time, to read the whole 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And in that 7th chapter, we find Paul's manifesto on marriage and his treatise on singleness. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, saints, Paul is addressing some of the questions that have been sent to him as he tries to correct some of the problems that are pervasive in the church. For the first phrase of verse 1 reads this, "Now for the matters you wrote about." That's how he starts his letter. Saints, there were people in that culture who frowned on marriage, and there were others who looked down on singles. And on top of that, sexual immorality abounded in this seaport town. Sounds kind of like our country today, amen. So let me be quick to add that Paul was not against matrimony. In fact, in Ephesians 5, he establishes the love a husband is to have for his wife, and he describes it as a picture of love that Christ has for the church. Now, in this passage today, saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it is a very deep, it is a very practical passage, and it deserves our careful consideration. Now, in these verses, chapter 7, marriage is validated and singleness is held up as advantageous, recognizing that not everyone is equipped for marriage, amen, and not everyone is called to be single. All right, and the reality of human passions is stated in this chapter without reservations. So balancing all of these truths while speaking directly toward the cultural confusion and answering specific questions, Paul advocates just two alternatives. The first is this, saints, self-controlled singleness. And the second, monogamous marriage. I'll say that again, self-controlled singleness and monogamous marriage. All right, we don't have time today to tackle the entire chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. So please, again, I ask that you read it this week for yourself during your devotions. Now, this outline we have today, it shows that Paul is really answering three questions from the Corinthians. And you can jot, if you have a pencil down, these notes. Verses 1 through 9, he's answering the question, is married preferred? And then in verses 10 through 24, Paul is answering the question, is marriage permanent? And then in verses 25 through 40, he's been asked the question, is marriage paramount? All right, so we're going to look at some misconceptions about being single to see how, number one, it is a whole number. Everybody say that with me. One is a whole number. All right, also we're going to see that marriage does not guarantee completeness. All right, marriage does not guarantee completeness. All right, saints, a single person is a person who is separate, unique, whole, and complete. The Bible does not tell us that there is anything wrong with being single. And we see, in fact, that singlehood, as a matter of fact, is a blessing. Everybody say a blessing. It's a blessing. Let's read together the verses that I have printed in our sermon notes, verses 32 through 35. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman, or virgin, is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. Amen. I want to start off by saying singleness is great. Singleness is great. Hallelujah. Now, saints, there are even advantages we see in this chapter in being single. Amen. Among others, single persons can attend to the things of God without distractions. Amen. Now, listen carefully when I say loneliness is not peculiar to singles. All right? It's not peculiar to singles alone. Loneliness has to do with relationship, because a person can be married and still be lonely. All right? People become lonely when they are out of relationship. All right. All right, so then you may ask, well, just what is a major problem that singles encounter? Well, the major problem is pressure. Everybody say pressure. Pressure. Pressure from peer groups, pressure from parents, pressure from friends, pressure from society. Some people come under pressure because their friends are getting married. So they hear that question all the time. Well, what are you still doing single? When are you going to get married? It comes in all kinds of ways. And these pressures are mounted daily on those who are single. Amen. I'll never forget, our little cousins from Kent came to spend the weekend with us about 10 or 12 years ago, and we brought him here to church. And the littlest one, his name was Nicholas. And so before we came, we were all getting ready. And Pastor Rick said, Nicholas, come on, let me brush your hair. Hurry up. So he came over. Pastor Rick was brushing his hair real nice. And Pastor Rick, he was kidding with him, but he said, all right, Nicholas, I'm going to have your hair looking so good that you're going to find a wife at church today. And Nicholas went like, he thought about what Pastor Rick said. Then the next thing we knew, he was just messing up his hair. He just beat his hair. And then he wouldn't let Pastor Rick brush his hair. And he came to church with a messed up hairdo. All right, he wouldn't let us touch it. So we just figured he wasn't looking for a wife that day. He was 5 years old and he wasn't interested. He made it crystal clear. But those pressures really are real, amen. And you must know how to handle those pressures, or you can feel rejected, or you can go into self-pity, or you can develop a low self-esteem, or you can even get depressed or come under undue anxiety and panic. Oh, I guess they're right. Oh, my biological clock, I guess it is ticking. Oh, yes, I'm running out of time. Saints, such pressures could even push you into making decisions that will affect your life negatively. You may even think you are a second-class citizen, but let me tell you today, you are not. So, saints, as the family of God, we must respect the situation of every single. Some are single by choice, amen. Some choose to remain single. They just flat out, like Nicholas, don't want to get married. Some are single by circumstance. And those of us, even who are married now, if we keep on living, one of us is going to be single again. Amen. All right. So then, what should you do? I want everybody to say with me, relax. Just relax. Relax. Hallelujah. Relax. Don't allow your desires to get out of hand. Set your mind on things above. Don't be so preoccupied with the thoughts of marriage or preoccupied with the thoughts of sex. For a major myth is this: my life plus someone else's life guarantees happiness, because it is not a guarantee. In fact, that is a fairy tale that we are taught early on with all those fairy tales, Cinderella and Prince Charming and all of that. But it is a major myth. My life plus someone else's does not guarantee happiness. All right, here is what I want to offer, and it's a warning to singles about situational ethics. Situational ethics state decision-making should be based upon the circumstances of a particular situation and not upon fixed law. I have this in your notes. Saints, we cannot do just what feels good, amen. We cannot justify breaking God's laws just because we are in love. Ooh. We must do what God says, even if we don't like it. Hallelujah. Even if we don't like it. Christians who are single, the word Christian comes first. Christian in all of our lives comes first. Christian comes first. All right, saints, you see, when you are single, it's easy to get tired of that question of when are you going to get married, the marriage question. So one thing I would suggest is to try some humor. So to those of you who are in this situation at this time, I want to offer you some 5 top comebacks to the question, why aren't you married yet? Why aren't I married yet? I already have enough laundry to do, thank you. Why am I not married yet? I wouldn't want my parents to faint from sheer happiness. Why am I not married yet? Because I just love hearing this question. Why am I not married yet? Because it gives my parents something to live for. Why am I not married yet? Because I think it would take all the spontaneity out of dating. And you can think of your own, but try to just add some humor to it so that you don't have to feel upset when people are continuing to ask that inconsiderate question. In 1 Corinthians 7, we find that Paul is answering a question that had come to him concerning the single life. And so let me say it again so that everyone can hear it. Singleness is great. Would you say that with me? Singleness is great. Hallelujah. Being single is perfectly acceptable and a proper way of life that has a divinely approved status. This means you can honor God where you are. Where you are. Now, I want to encourage you singles today to see your singleness as a gift. In verse 24, if you would jot that down and later on read it. See your singleness as a gift. Singleness is a good thing because it is a gift from God. Amen. Look at verse 7 when you have the opportunity. Paul says, I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now, since the word gift is the same word that is used extensively in chapters 12, 13, and 14, where Paul answers another question about spiritual gifts. So this word denotes a free gift of grace. So actually, Paul is teaching that marriage is a gift of grace. And he's also teaching that singleness is a gift of grace. And it all comes down to recognizing and receiving your situation right now as a calling from a gracious and generous God. Hallelujah. Indeed, God is the giver of all gifts. Amen. And the setter of situations. Well, saints, what this means is that if you are single right now, you have the gift of singleness if you are single right now. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you will have this gift for your whole life, but that right now, God has presented you with this present in the present time. Amen. God may change your assignment, or who knows, you may become increasingly content with being single. As one author says, there's grace for being so gifted either way. So if this gift is temporary for you being single, just keep in mind some of those practical tips from Pastor Rick's message on investment tips for dating. Y'all remember that? Amen. Which included what to look for in a mate. Well then, friends, see your singleness as a way to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, to the infamous, very insensitive question, why aren't you married yet? I like the perspective of singles who reframe this question by asking, well, what is God doing in me? What is God doing through my singleness? Instead of thinking of oneself as a single person, just refer to oneself as a person who happens to be single. That's how you should see yourself. I'm a person who happens to be single. Now, this helps to keep the emphasis on who you are and the gifts that God has given you and not on your marital status. Since singleness is a gift, hallelujah, and words do matter. Now, when it comes to describing a single person's marital status who has always been single, my sister Susan encourages using the term always single in preference over never married, which is more positive and it makes more sense, always single. Since singleness is a gift, keep two things about spiritual gifts in mind from 1 Corinthians. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that God gives gifts according to God's will. 1 Corinthians 12:11 reads this. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and God gives to each one just as God determines. So if you are single today, God is determined at this point in your life for you to be so. And since God is good, saints, God's gifts are good. Hallelujah. Even if you might want rather have a different one, God's gifts are good. Hallelujah. God's gifts are to grow God's church. Amen. Now, I want to encourage everybody to come to Life Sharing. We have started this awesome spiritual gift Bible study in which we're discovering and rediscovering our spiritual gifts and how to step into those gifts into ministry and use those gifts for God's glory and for the blessing of God's church and to grow our church. Hallelujah. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it reads, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So ultimately, whether you are single or whether you are married, it's not about you anyway. Hallelujah. Each of us saints are here for God's purposes. single has developed an answer to the question, why are you still single? By answering, it's for your own good. Hallelujah. It's for your own good. Hallelujah. And that is right in our passage today that I have printed. Amen. It is for your own good. Now let's look at how singleness can help bring glory to God from 1 Corinthians 7, verses 25 through 35. Now an overriding principle is found in verse 29, and that is the time is short. Everybody say that with me. Time is short. This word means to be contracted or be drawn into a narrow space. Saints, we need to give our all to Jesus Christ today because it's all about Him. Amen. And because we may die tomorrow, any of us may die even tonight. Or who knows, Jesus might even return tonight. He might return. And so we must live with expectancy and with urgency. Now, marriage is a part of the world that is already on its way out. So we must focus on things that are eternal. I like what the missionary martyr Jim Elliot said. He said, wherever you are, be all there. Would you remind your neighbor, wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. Hallelujah. In other words, live to the hilt in every situation. Live to the hilt, praise God. Oh, if you believe in the will of God, give every moment all you got. Hallelujah. Praise God. Since the time is short, saints, singles have some distinct advantages when it comes to serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me make a few powerful comments to those of you who are single. And the first one is this. Start living right now. Right now. Start living right now. Celebrate your singleness. Celebrate your singleness. Hallelujah. Whether it is temporary, whether it is permanent, celebrate your singleness and live a life of undivided devotion to the Lord. Amen. So I want to say, don't wait to start living. Don't wait to start living. One single put it this way. I need to stop asking, why am I alone? And start asking, oh God, why am I here? Hallelujah. And as Nita and John sang and danced for us today, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Why am I here, Lord? But unfortunately, a lot of emphasis today is on how to help singles cope with their situation or how to help them to attract a spouse. If you look at the magazines while we're in the grocery line, you know, how you can rope in this and rope in that person, whatever. The Bible teaches us that each of us, no matter if we are married or if we are not, we need to live each and every day to its fullest. And our task is not to just survive. Our task is to thrive. We are to thrive, hallelujah, in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just to put in our time. You can tell those who live their life by, they got the attitude, I'm just doing my time. You know, but we're to make the most of our time. So high five your neighbor right now. Say, neighbor, make the most. Make the most of your time. Make the most of your time. Make the most. Because as Paul said in verse 31, the world in its present form is passing away. So make the most of your time. Now, singles, use your singleness as a way to serve. Now, you may be tempted to think you can just do what you want to do until you settle down, you know, and get married. Oh, no. Don't use your singleness as an excuse to sin. Amen. Instead, use your gifts. Use your talents. Use your abilities and use your time to bring glory to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to serve others because the time is short. Time is short. Now, in the verses immediately preceding 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul reminds each of us that our responsibility is to honor God. Now listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Hallelujah. Now, Saint, Jesus was single. And Jesus knew more about committed relationships than we will ever know. In John 13:35, Jesus said, all people will know that you are my disciples by your love one for another. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. That's a friend that loves you at all times. Hallelujah. Now looking at our notes at the bottom of our first page, one is a whole number. Everybody say that with me again. One is a whole number. So whether you're married today or whether you're single, I challenge you to make some visible changes in your calendar that says, I am going to build stronger and deeper friendships with people. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're single and romance happens in the process, well, hallelujah. That's great. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But that's not the goal. Amen. But if it happens in the process, praise God. Now, if you're married, those of us, we need to refocus on deepening our relationship with our spouse. And then build other friendships too. Becoming a big brother, big sister to somebody. Helping out and serving at church. Or volunteering at the hospital. Or at the schools. The schools need help right now. Big help. You need to plan to eat out with people, enjoy relationships, spend time with people, building meaningful relationships. Amen. Now, secondly, what is the second challenge? Don't worry about the future and don't live with anxiety. I want to encourage you to tackle each day with hope. Get up in the morning and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of a new day. To be able to praise you and to serve you. Hallelujah. Tackle each day with hope. Don't worry about your life. Matthew 6:25 tells us. And Paul says in Philippians 4:11, I've learned to be content in every situation. Praise God. Whether you're having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or you're eating a Red Lobster, both of them can be absolutely delicious. Amen. Now, what's the third challenge, saints? Hallelujah! Don't be afraid to admit you want a relationship with someone special. Praise God for that. A single person was once asked if they were looking for a special relationship, and they answered, no, I'm happy with my job. Well, that's like asking someone if they want a new car, and they respond, no, I already have a good set of china, or something like that. I admire people who say, I'm looking for a relationship. I'm looking to date, but I don't need that to make me happy. But I'm looking for a relationship. I'm looking to date. Hallelujah. But I'm whole in Christ. I'm happy in Christ. But I'm looking for a relationship. Praise God. And then fourthly, what is it? Your self-esteem and self-worth from God. And don't depend on everyone's opinion of you. Amen. Know that you are whole regardless of your circumstance. You are whole. You are unique. Praise God. One is a whole number. Oh, yes, it is. A while back, I ran across a poetic declaration written by an African-American pastor. And I searched, but I wasn't able to find the name, so it's author unknown. But it was so good, and I said, wow, this would be so fitting and appropriate for the singles that God has placed in our church. So at this time, I want to ask for those of you who at this time in your journey of life are single, it's my prayer that you would arise to your feet at this time. All those who are single at this journey in your life, and if you would, together with pride, declare this declaration. It's entitled Fellowship of the Unashamed, and I printed it on your sermon note sheet, and I would like in unison for you to read it together. Together. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His, Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on God's presence, walk by patience, lift up by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my walk is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till Jesus comes, give till I drop, preach stops me. And when Christ comes for His own, He will have no problems recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Hallelujah! Praise Your name, Lord! Oh, thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You for sealing that declaration today. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for sealing that declaration today. I want to ask the question, are you making the most out of the life you've been given? Have you postponed living because of the circumstances you find yourself in? Well, today's message is about celebrating the person that you are right now. Hallelujah. So in relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that we all join together and declare, I have printed it in our notes at the bottom of the second page, declare what it is we believe. We are declared not guilty of sin, Romans 3:24. We are considered pure and holy, 1 Corinthians 1:30. We are brand new people inside, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We will live forever, Ephesians 1:10 and 11. We can come fearlessly into God's presence, Ephesians 3:12. We are complete in Him, Colossians 2:10. We are accepted, Ephesians 1:6. We are chosen by God, 1 Thessalonians 1:4. We are the apple of God's eye, Psalm 17:8. The fact that we are considered the apple of God's eye, wow. We are whole people, single or married, doesn't matter. God's expert for is to build genuine relationships with people, hanging out with others, hanging out with God, being real. If something happens that leads to marriage, great. But it doesn't need to, because one is a whole number. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I want you to take a moment, turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, and say, celebrate the person you are. 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 God has a great plan for your life. God tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, I've got plans to prosper you. Each of you, to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah. Oh, so will you let God have your heart today? Will you let God have your life today? Will you trust Jesus Christ with your future? Oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, giving your all to God today is the best way to assure for a great tomorrow. Hallelujah. So, saints, let God use you by making yourself available to God. Hallelujah. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Oh, praise your name, Lord God. Oh, we love you today. Oh, in our prayer for singles today, for those who are married, Lord, in our current state, wherever we are on the journey today, our prayer is, in our lives, be glorified. In your church, be glorified. Be glorified today and all days to come. And we ask it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord, Savior, King, and our friend. And it's in his name the church joined together to say, amen and amen.